And that the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, because, O Lord God, you are shining your light, even the light of your word, upon the ground of our hearts, O Lord God, dispelling all darkness and gross darkness from our midst, from our lives, from our homes, O Lord God, from our circumstances, from every area of our lives, causing us to truly be light. For you have called us light, O Lord God, and sent us forth as light, O Lord God, even in this dark world. Salt upon the earth. We honor you, Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Thank you, because you have made us lights, O Lord God. Lights, O Lord God, even in this dark world. Thank you, as you cause us, O Lord God, you have said that we should do all things without murmurings and disputings, that we may be blameless, harmless, the sons and daughters of God in a depraved generation, shining forth as lights in the world. Father, we believe this, and we thank you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to burn, O Lord God, as your light upon the earth. Thank you for your mercy that ever flows, causing, O Lord God, the candlestick, O Lord God, not to grow dim, O Lord God, but causing the light to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Thank you, because you have brought us, Lord Jesus, into that perfect day, for you rose up on the third day for our justification. Thank you, because you are the light of the world, and you have caused us also, because we are following you, to be light, O Lord God, even in this world. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for great grace. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, because you are the word, and where the word is, there is light. Oh, Lord God, in you we have life. That life is our light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are the living word. Thank you, because, oh, Lord God, that word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dispelling all darkness. Thank you, King of glory, King of light. Oh, Lord God, Prince of peace, Prince of life. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for your presence in our midst. Big brother, Savior to the uttermost, you ever live to make intercession for us, saving us to the uttermost. We worship you, Lord Jesus, High Priest, Lord Holy Spirit. Thank you, Helper. Yes, until the Spirit be poured on us from on high. Thank you, because the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Thank you, because justice dwells in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our circumstances, in every area of our lives, in our faculties, in our bodies, in our members, shall be peace. And the peace and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever, we, your people, we will dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places, in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We give you all the glory. We give you all honor, O guide of our youth, helper and friend, master, yes, enabler, teacher. Thank you, because you are all in all. Have your way, take your place, even in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's take our seats. Let's settle down as we take our seats. Imole, imole. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give God the glory. Let's give it a clap offering. Let's give it a clap offering. We thank God for his mercies. We worship the King of glory and thank God for honoring our invitation. We bless the name of the Lord. We'd like to welcome you to Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap offering to our parents. For our parents, thank God for this gift to the body of Christ, both apostolic and prophetic grace function and working in their lives. And truly, they have been blessed, and they have blessed us, and they are a blessing. And we trust that by his mercy and grace, they will see the traveling of their souls in our lives, and they will be satisfied in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, before we always start the fellowship, we always send them a message, even if it's just on WhatsApp. This is what's going to happen to you. And the next thing you get almost immediately from them is that I'm praying for you. You know, and they always send their love and their greetings. And we, like we've said before, and we'll continue to say, they will know that they have not run or labored in vain in Jesus' name. Because each and every one of us will fulfill our purpose and destiny and manifest the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As we go straight into the word, I want us to bow our heads. I want you to just talk to God, you know, one thing that you desire, you know, to leave this place with, and then I'll pray with us together. Heavenly Father, we just worship you. We thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this time of gathering again. Thank you for your word, Lord God, that you've already released into the earth at this time. Thank you for the privilege to be able to, oh Lord God, download, receive, oh Lord God, Father, oh Lord God, and communicate this same word, oh Lord God, to your people. Father, we just humble ourselves. We come again, oh Lord God, by the blood of the Lamb, confessing our sins. We look to you for fresh mercy, grace, and help, recognizing that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to whom you show mercy. Lord, as I go, oh Lord God, Father, I pray, oh Lord God, for fresh anointing and fresh unction, oh Lord God, Father, the same grace upon the fathers of the house to rest upon me. Oh Lord God, I will not speak my own words, oh Lord God, I will speak only what you will have me say. Oh Lord God, that you will have your way, you will take your place, oh Lord God, Father, you through my heart, through my mouth, through the ears and the hearts of the people that will be hearing, that this word will come forth in accuracy and simplicity in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You grant me meekness and lowliness of heart, and you grant the listeners also the same meekness and lowliness of heart, so I will receive grace, oh Lord God, this engrafted word, to be doers of the work and not hearers only. I will be truly blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because this word will do, oh Lord God, Father, a permanent work in our hearts, in our wills, causing us to be more humble, oh God, Father, in our minds, causing us to be enlightened, oh Lord God, to know, oh Lord God, our purpose and destiny in Christ Jesus, Father, oh Lord God, to temper, oh Lord God, our emotions by the fruit of your Spirit, Father, and to work and wrought, oh Lord God, Father, miracles, oh Lord God, life eternal, even in our physical bodies, in our faculties, in our members, to take us from where we are to where we ought to be, to change us in the exalted name of Jesus, that we'll see you more clearly, we'll love you more dearly, we'll follow you more nearly, we'll hear you more distinctly, we'll obey you more promptly and completely, we'll be energized to serve you, to love you, to follow after, oh Lord God, and inherit, oh Lord God, fullness of what you have for us even in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, because we know that you have done this, you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I give you warm greetings also in the name of Jesus from Prof. Sulokpade. As you know, he's the elder of the fellowship, but he's not with us physically, but he's with us in the spirit and by the power of technology, and he sends his love and regards. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord for Prof. We know that by his mercy and grace, he'll be back with us shortly in Jesus' name. Okay, yeah, so straight into the word. I'm going to continue the series that we started last week. I don't know whether you remember the title. Who can remind me of the title last week? Yeah? Excellent. Preparing for the glory. You know, we started a series last week, Preparing for the Glory. And you know, I'll give a quick recap. But before I give that recap of what we did last week, and you know that it wasn't just about talking last week, because we recognize that the kingdom of God is not talk, but power. And it has to do with being doers and practitioners of the word and not hearers only. We've been hearing these truths, you know, about the glory of God, about becoming like Jesus, about growing, you know, into maturity. That God's desire for his children is not to remain as babes, is not to remain as babies, but to grow, you know, to be young men, to be children, and from children to be young men and women, and from young men and women to be fathers, you know, in Christ. And that is what he wants us, because that was the path that even the Lord Jesus went through. He was a baby. He was born as a baby. He wasn't created as a man like Adam. He was born as a baby, you know, for the second person of the Godhead. He became a baby, a fetus, you know, and he was born as a baby, and from baby he went to little child. You know, you saw him in the temple at the age of 12. From little child he went to being a young man, you know, and by the time he was 30 he had been a spiritual father, you know, to the disciples that he had and whom he groomed for 3 years. And that's the path that God wants us also to take, and it is possible. He doesn't want us to remain babes forever. You know, he doesn't want us to remain little children forever. He doesn't want us to be young men forever. He wants us to be fathers. He wants us to grow. I mean, aspire, you know, and run after that, so that we can obtain the same glory that Jesus had. And that's what Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said, he said that, you know, we'll do the works that he did and greater. And he wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't trying to pamper us. He wasn't trying to make us laugh. He wasn't trying to excite us. He meant what he said, you know, and he said what he meant. And so, in this regard, we have been talking about the glory of God that is, you know, imminent, you know, in the body of Christ. And I'll just give a quick recap so that we can really appreciate and understand these things. But today, like I said, we're continuing that series, Preparing for the Glory. But the emphasis today, last week it was praying in love. You know, we're trying to say that the key that will trigger the glory of God, that will make the men, that will make men and women around the world know us as Christians and as Christ's own, you know, is the love of God. And that God, because God is love, the pathway and the express way to experience the power of God without measure, like the Lord Jesus had, is that we must develop the love of God in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible says that when we get born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the what? The Holy Spirit. The love of God is the character of God. It is God. Do you understand? God is love. Like Pastor has been saying, love does not define God, but God defines love. And we see love in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It is a person that has developed the love of God and is growing in the love of God that God can entrust his wisdom and his power and be sure that the person will not mess around with his power. The person will not be an oppressor. The person will not be a tyrant. Are we together? Because when you are, when you have God's wisdom and God's love, you can either, you can get proud. Satan had God's wisdom, but he corrupted it because of iniquity, because of pride. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when God, Solomon had the wisdom of God, but the guy had 700 wives, 300 concubines. It's one way or the other anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he didn't get, he didn't make God happy. Do you understand? So the reason why Jesus, the Lord Jesus said that a greater than Solomon is here is because he had character. Do you understand? He could carry that glory. Glory is weight. Is heavy. Is heavy wisdom, heavy intelligence, heavy innovation, heavy creativity. It is power, heavy power. Are you going to say maybe you're on a bike and a downfall driver is messing around and you say, you just say something from your mouth and you're a person of power. You understand what I'm saying? So God, before God downloads that kind of immense power that he gave the Lord just to the body of Christ, he must have a group of people that have developed the love of God. Do you understand? To an appreciable degree that he can entrust them. Because you see, love is patient, love is kind. God is love. Love is not rude. Love is not proud. Love loves righteousness and hates, and love does not worry. Love never fails. I listen to me. Love is forbearing. When you have that character and you've developed and you've focused on it, God will begin to entrust more of his wisdom, more of his power, more, you know, of his truth, of his intelligence and innovation in your heart and in your life. Are we together? So we are saying that the key, you know, to inheriting the fullness of what God has for each and every one of us is to develop love. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, and all other things will be what? Added unto you. Okay, so this week, this Friday, we're talking about persistent pursuit. You know, preparing for the glory, but the subtopic is persistent pursuit. And I'm going to show you what persistence means and what pursuit means. You know, just to give a quick recap of what we are talking about. Why are we talking about the glory of God? What is the glory of God? Last week we said that the glory of God is the manifest presence of God. In the Old Testament, they had it like during the time of Moses. You saw the smoke and the fire, pillar of fire by night, you know, cloud by day. Are we together? You know, you had smoke in the temple during Solomon. You had smoke, you know, and fire. Elijah called fire from heaven. That was the manifestation of the glory of God. In the New Testament, the glory of God was in the person of the Lord Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So the glory of God is the manifest presence of God. And you see it in light. Light is wisdom. You see it in life. Sorry, let's start with life. You see it in the life of God. The life of God is inside God, is what is inside God that makes God God. The Bible says that in him was life. And that life was what? The light of men. So life is a substance that flows in God. God is spirit. You are human. And what flows in you is blood. But what flows in God is life. I have come that I might have life and have it what? More abundantly. So the glory of God is when that life is also made manifest in your own physical body. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, you know, saying that the life of God may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Not when we get to heaven. Not in eternity, but in our mortal flesh. Mortal flesh means right here, now. Do you understand? Your physical body. So when the life of God is made manifest in your mortal flesh, it will quicken your cells. It will quicken your neurons. It will quicken your respiratory system. It will quicken your organs. It will quicken every part of your body. It will quicken your faculties. I listen to me. When it is made manifest in our mortal flesh, the cells and the neural network of your brain that has been in sleep mode, or hibernation, or my own and yours, that have been in sleep mode hitherto, will come alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then it will be 10 times better than our peers. That means that we are using 100% of our brains. Are we together? Those are miracles. Those are things that men have not seen. We've only heard of it in the life of Daniel, in the life of Joseph, in the life of Solomon. And so when you have the glory of God in our physical body, not just in the building, but in our physical body, because our bodies are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, is God. He's the third person of the Godhead. So we're talking about the glory of God is the manifest presence of God. When you see it in life, you see it in light. Light is wisdom, knowledge, understanding, intelligence. It makes you more, give you more understanding than your teachers. You see it in love, in character, in forgiveness. A sinner that deserves to go to hell. You see yourself. You see the Lord Jesus bringing tax collectors, talking to sinners, and the Pharisees and religious people are thinking, how would you work with such people? How would you talk to a prostitute? How would you talk to a woman that has had 3-4 husbands? Those things bugged the religious mind. But you see, the Lord just was love, character. And so that's the glory of God. When we develop and we begin to see in greater manifestation the life of God in our souls, in our physical body and circumstances, the light of God in our souls, in our bodies and circumstances, in our studies, in our offices, in our workplace, you know, we begin to see the love of God in our souls, in our bodies, and secondly, controlling and dominating us more and more. It's not going to be all the time suddenly, but for people that have matured, it's going to be like that. But for us that are growing, you'll be seeing more measure, more increase. Do you understand? That's the glory of God. And it will be, you will see the results in physical miracles. Say physical miracles. Say physical miracles. Physical miracles are like the thing of raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, healing the sick. Do you understand? And it's going to be constant. It's not once in a while. It's not by the gifts of the Spirit. This one is, you see, it's tabernacles. It has come to abide in you. Do you understand? And so, physical miracles, you begin, when the glory of God is made manifest, you won't see it. It's not going to be something that is once in a while. You will see it in physical miracles. Say, physical miracles. You will see it in intellectual miracles. Say, intellectual miracles. That means we begin to create. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, in the Message Bible, says that they will be called those that can fix anything. They can repair anything. You are not just importing from abroad. We are beginning to export. We are beginning to be creative. We are beginning to be innovative. We are beginning to have startups that are solving world problems. Intellectual miracles. I listen to me. You are doing things that other people have not seen or cannot do just yet. Do you understand? Because you are not in that, you are not thinking that level. Are we together? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You see, you are quiet because we haven't seen it just yet, but it's around the corner. But you need to aspire and believe for it. God wants us to begin to aspire. That's why the title is Persistent Pursuit. The way we are going to gain this thing and get this thing is by continuing, is by being persistent, is by pursuing it. You must see it to pursue it. If you don't see it with the eye of faith, and with the eye of understanding and eyes of revelation, you will not believe it and you will not pursue it. The Bible says, without the vision, the people perish. Do you understand? Where there is no vision, there is no pursuit. Are we together? Of course, that's why we are teaching these things. You will see it in economic miracles like Joseph. You will see it in social miracles, political miracles like Daniel. You will see it in environmental miracles. There's so much problem. See, all the problems in the world can be answered with all these miracles. Environmental miracles, political miracles. The people in Nigeria are looking for political miracles. Do you understand? A political miracle. Do you understand? But it's not going to come through, like we said, through just natural men. It has to come through the body of Christ. It has to come through the church. The way things are on the planet. The way things are in our community, the nation. The educational system, the health system. Everything seems to be in a state of shaking right now. But we need people that are going to manifest the glory of God, that have such intelligence that will be able to turn things around. Are we together? Overnight, the Bible says, shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. These are the things that are going to solve the problems that we are in. We are in perilous times. Humans, natural human brain cannot solve it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, said that they have come to their wit's end. Do you understand what I'm saying? Men and women are looking for everything they can do. Their PhDs are not solving the problem. Are we together? We need more. And that's what they were singing. We need more. And that's what God always does. He waits for you. You think you know it all, Abby? He waits to let you know that you need him. Do you understand? You see that your education system cannot solve it. The money cannot solve it. You know, things that men have built, the Western world has built, technology can't seem to solve the problem. Then we need him. Are we together? And that's why we are pursuing the glory of God and crying out for it. And so, we also mentioned that there are three feasts that the Bible talks about and that is celebrated in Israel. But for us, the New Testament church, God still recognizes those feasts. But their experiences as born-again Christians. We talked about the Feast of Passover. Say the Feast of Passover. And we said that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is our Passover lamb. He died on the day of Passover. On the Passover, in the New Old Testament, they always kill a lamb. And then the high priest will, you know, sprinkle the blood on the people to show that they've been cleansed. But in the New Testament, the Lord just came to fulfill the Passover feast. And he became the Passover lamb. And so when you get born again, you are eating the Passover lamb. I mean, you are experiencing the Passover. Because Passover has to do with being born again. The Lord just died on the cross. Are we together? The Lord just died on the cross. And then we said that there's a second feast. The second feast is the Feast of Pentecost. The experience for a born-again Christian, New Testament born-again Christian, the New Testament Christian, or New Testament body of Christ, is getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In the Old Testament, Pentecost, God gave them the law. It's just 50 days after Passover. But in the New Testament, it was 50 days, exactly 50 days after the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. That they celebrated the Pentecost, and then they experienced Pentecost. Are we together? Are we together? In the New Testament, it was exactly 50 days after Passover that the Lord Jesus was killed, that the Holy Spirit was poured down upon the apostles and the people that were together in the upper room, 120 of them. So what we are trying to say is that those feasts that they had in the Old Testament, there is an experience of it for you and me in the New Testament. Are we together? So Passover, they used to kill lambs. But in New Testament, the Lord Jesus is our lamb. The Passover lamb. John said it. See, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Are we together? And so when I get born again, when you get born again, we're experiencing Passover. We have come out of Egypt. We are eating the lamb. The Lord Jesus, the lamb upon the throne of our hearts. Are we together? And then, 50 days later, for them in the New Testament, the first experience, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And you and I experience Pentecost again. It can be the same day actually for you and me. When you have the experience of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So now you have two feasts. Say two feasts. Now there is a third feast. A third experience that God is hungry for. And hungry and expecting his church to come into. So the church has come into the born-again experience out of Egypt. The church has experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's a wilderness experience. There is a third experience that God is expecting his body to come into that hitherto men have resisted or have not believed. And you see, in the wilderness, they were sent into the promised land to spy. And how many people were this? How many people were sent? 12 people were sent. How many people brought back good reports? Two brought back good reports, Joshua and Caleb. And so also you're having the same experience right now of us, God wanting us to enter into the promised land of doing the works that Jesus did and greater. Of us growing up in Ephesians chapter 4, growing up into him in all things, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, becoming perfected in love. These are things that seem highfalutin, that seem high, like high walls. That seem impossible. That seem as if there's a giant in the soul. There's a giant in the body. Just like in the wilderness, you had just 10 people. You had just 2 people that believed. 10 people said it is not possible. There are giants in the land. In the New Testament, you are hearing the same thing. It is not possible to be like Jesus. You don't understand. Jesus was God. And there are always this kind of pictures that they paint that it is impossible. That's the same thing that those 10 brought. But 2 believed. So the God that brought us out of Egypt, the God that brought us through the Red Sea, the God that kept us in the wilderness, he is able. He's not you. He never said it was going to be you. Say, God in you, the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, I'll give you another helper. The Lord just knew what he was saying. I'll give you another comforter. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Just what I'm saying. Are we together? He has equipped us and he's equipping us. It is God that is our work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He has given us his blood. He has given us his word. And he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to believe and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If you already have salvation, why did he write to born-again Christians, I'll work out your salvation with fear and trembling? I thought the born-again experience was all. I thought getting baptized in the Holy Spirit was all. There is more. Are we together? He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow like him, to become more like him in our thinking, in our speech, in our talking, in our behavior, in our works. Are we together? Okay, great. I hope you're with me. You're not sounding excited. Anyway, so God wants us to experience these three, to have these three experiences. Passover, Pentecost, and what we call tabernacles, where he can come and stay and reside in your house. Sorry, not your house, in his house, which is your physical body. He doesn't just want to stay in your spirit. He doesn't just want to visit our souls once in a while when you have a spark in your mind, you have a good idea, you have a God idea, and you have good thoughts, God thoughts once in a while. He wants to invade it because he bought the whole thing. Do you understand? Satan is not the landlord. Satan does not own two thoughts of the house and then God owns downstairs. God owns the whole thing and he wants the whole thing. Are we together? And all he's requiring of us and requesting of us is that we believe. Faith is the beginning of these things. And so, God wants us to experience these things individually and also corporately. You got born again as an individual. You got baptized in the Holy Spirit as an individual. You are also going to grow to become more like Jesus as an individual. Do you understand? Howbeit in the midst of a corporate people, of a corporate body. And so this is what we're talking about. And this is what we talked about last week. And so quickly for this week. So the first question I want to ask is, how many people want complete deliverance? Total deliverance. Complete salvation. Total salvation. How many people want to walk in God's perfect will for them? How many people want to fulfill their divine purpose and destiny? Okay, so what I've written down here is, to walk in this, to inherit this, we must pursue persistently. Let's say together, to inherit the fullness of what God has for us, we must pursue, I want to hear you, we must pursue persistently, daily, to recover all and to take all. Let me define what pursue means and what persistence means. So you know that you cannot be excited today and tomorrow you are despondent or you are discouraged. You cannot be excited on Sunday again and on Monday you don't know where you are going in life. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be on top of your game every day. There are going to be challenges. We're not denying that. There are going to be winds that will come against us and peer pressure, you know, and temptations and trials. But God wants us to begin to continue to overcome. Even when a righteous man falls seven times, he's going to what? Rise again. Are we together? And so God wants us to pursue vehemently and persistently. And I'm going to show you examples. You see, God wants us to have an attitude. There's a spirit God wants us to have in this season. You know, like we said, that there has been a Passover experience for the church. There has been a Pentecost experience for the church. We're expecting a tabernacle experience for the church where glory will be a daily thing. See, the way speaking in tongues is a daily thing. Miracles will be a daily thing. Signs and wonders will be a daily thing. Intellectual miracles will be a daily thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will touch your body when you're in supermarket. It will be a daily thing. Do you understand? You'll be in the marketplace. Maybe you just brush somebody. The person got healed. It will be a daily thing. We are now sounding excited and amen again. Economic miracles will be a daily thing. You just give them this idea. Maybe we should try this. You know? It was four lepers, mind you. Yeah, I was going to come there. God is going to use non-entities. But men and women that believe in him. You remember the four lepers? They loved not their lives. The Syrians had ravaged Israel. There was economic problem. They're eating the head of donkey. It was sold for a high price. They were eating, listen to this, dove's dung. You know igbe? You know poo-poo? A bird's poo-poo. They were eating it. That's how bad the economy was. But it got to a point. God made the Syrians hear what they are not supposed to hear. And they thought that the Israelites were coming. They ran away and they left all their things. And four lepers said, if we continue like this, we will die here. Let us go to the Syrians. Last, they will kill us. But it's better for us to even make a move. And when they got to the Syrian camp, lo and behold, they found no Syrian. They packed everything they needed to eat. And then they said, what we are doing is not fair. Let us go and meet the king of Israel and tell him that so, so, and so has happened. Elisha had prophesied that tomorrow, so, so, and so will be sold for this. Things are going to turn around. There's going to be an economic miracle. One man said, it is not possible. Elisha said, you will see it, but you will not be a part of it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Because you do not believe. But let me tell you, this time tomorrow, that thing happened. Because they went to the Syrian camp and they found food. They found everything that they needed. And because there was so much, what was sold for 100 naira became 1 naira. Do you understand? Dollar that was 720 per naira, you know, became 70 naira. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they tell you that to you, you'll be wondering, are these things possible? But these are the kind of things that we're doing. But it's going to take tabernacles. It's going to take God himself invading bodies, boys and girls, men and women, to begin to do these miracles. And so that is why we are pursuing and we are hungry for this, because this is the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, we said persistence means never ceasing. Say persistence means never ceasing, never stopping. Pursuit means to chase something, to chase after something. You know, to chase after something with an effort that you must take it. You must recover it. You must overtake. You must possess it. That's what it means to pursue. Are we together? So persistence is you're consistent. You're constant. You're never ceasing, never tired. Pursuit is the act of chasing something, the act of pursuing something in an effort to overtake or to capture it. I know you might not be able to write everything down, but you must get this message and continue to listen to it. It is an act of pursuing and chasing something in an effort to what? Overtake and to what? Capture. And yeah, so I was asking you, how many of us want to complete and fulfill our destiny? We want complete deliverance. We want the fullness of what God has promised. All these things that we hear that are written in the scripture that seem so far and so high. How many of us want to possess it and take it? Bring it from where it is into reality. And so we need to pursue persistently. And so let me just give you examples of people that pursued persistently to get what God had promised them. Of course, we're going to talk about David, and I'm going to give us scriptures. But let's start with Gideon. See, Gideon had gotten how many people? How many people did God give Gideon? 300. We've actually treated that. You can get on the Zion City website. 300. God just gave Gideon 300 men. He had 100 with him, another 100 company somewhere, another 100 company somewhere. He gave them the instruction, and they raided, they overthrew the Midianite camp overnight. Are we together? But it was not over. The battle was not over. That's what I'm saying. See, you can get born again, but it's not over. There's still more. Gideon had to take down the princes of the Midianites, and he had to take down the kings of the Midianites. But what he did was, he had to pursue vehemently. He had to pursue. The story does not end with just overthrowing the Midianite camp. Your story will not end with you just getting born again. Your story will not end with you just being baptized in the Holy Spirit here and getting a few coins here and there. You know, thank God for all those things. Thank God for the victory. We don't despise the days of small beginnings, but there is more. That's what we are saying. God wants to be an intellectual giant. God wants to be a spiritual giant. He wants to be an intellectual giant. He wants to be an economic giant. The same things that we saw in the lives of Daniel and Joseph, that's even Old Testament. He wants us to do the same and greater. Are we together? Maybe you don't seem excited, or you don't see yourself in that light. You need to begin to see yourself in that light. I don't know what you're aspiring for. You know, those are greater things than even the present tech giants and business gurus that we have right now. These ones are people that the whole world came to see, came to meet. You remember during the time of Joseph, just like, you know, just to encourage you, I was thinking of it this morning. We are hearing Jakpa, hashtag Jakpa. But there's problem all around the world, though. I hope you know. And just, you know, God now reminded me. I was just talking to my wife, and God just dropped this thought. So that, you know, during the time of Joseph, they could have jackpot from Egypt. There was problem in Egypt. But let me tell you, it became a global famine. It became a problem. It became a global problem. Now, that's God is talking to me. I don't know why he has talked to you. So you know some people, they are seen in the Bible. And God spoke to Abraham, leave thy country. You know all kinds of things that were seen on Twitter and on WhatsApp these days and the status. God is telling people, people claim that they are hearing different things. But I'm just telling you what God used to encourage me this morning. You know, and he said that, but mind you, the people in Egypt were suffering. So also were the people in the world. The people in Egypt came to Joseph and said, look, give up, we need help. Mind you, the people in the world also came to Egypt. So look, it's not so much about where you are, it's about the God that you know. Because wherever you are, if you have God, they will come and meet you there. Do you understand what I mean? So the most important thing is you developing God in you and allowing God to grow and you growing in God. So that wherever you are, they will come and meet you for that solution. Do you understand? Do you understand? They had problem in Egypt. They have problem in Nigeria. They will come and meet you and me. They will have problem in the world. They will come to Nigeria to come and look for you. Hey, now you're talking. So you have to see it in that picture. At least that's one understanding that God gave me. So be encouraged. Now, so let's talk about Gideon in the conquest of the Midianites. After a great deliverance, what did they continue to do? What must you and me continue to do on a daily basis? We must continue to pursue persistently. Judges 7:25. Quickly give me Judges 7:25. Judges 7:25. Let's read this guy. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. This will be your portion also in Jesus' name. You will get the heads of principalities and powers. You will get the head of the sin nature in your soul. You will get the head of the sin nature, that sin that is that hitherto easily besought you and giving you kaffa and giving you a gate, and hitherto has been a challenge for you. You will get their heads in Jesus' name. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can see Gideon did not stop. After they had taken the Midianite camp, after they had gotten born again, after they had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, they did not stop. You know, this part of the story is hidden to many people. They didn't know that they continued to pursue. They continued to pursue. They got two princes. But again, it was not over. They pursued two princes. And that's why you must continue to pursue. There is more. There is more that God has for you and me. There is more purpose and destiny. There is more of purpose to become like Jesus daily, regularly, more and more. There are more lands to take in your mind. There are more lands to take in your soul. There are more lands to take in your body, in your circumstances. There are more lands to take in your health, in your finances. There are more lands to take in your home, your loved ones, to get born again. There are more lands. You must have a universe. I don't know that you have a global picture of being a champion, of being the victor. Or do you have a low vision? God has a world vision for you. Like the dream of Joseph. It was a global vision. Like the dream, like the life of Daniel. It was a global vision. It was a global political vision. But of course, it started with character and spiritual, knowing God. Those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And so we don't finish there about Gideon. Give me chapter 8, verse 4 to 5. The story of Gideon and the 300 continue. They got Oreb and Zeb. And then in chapter 8, verse 4, you see, Gideon came to Jordan. Jordan is where they had to cross to get to the promised land. It's a place where you die to self. It's a place where it's no longer you that lives, but Christ. It's a place where you deny yourself. You know, the first one they had crossed was the Red Sea. To get to the promised land, they had to cross through Jordan. It's a place where you die to self, where you know that I am now a disciple of Christ. I have to live and do the things that Jesus did. I have to wake up early to pray. I have to deny myself. Do you understand? The desires of my flesh, the things I love to do, my appetite, you know, there is more. And so Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and who? He and what? So you see, the story of the 300 continues. There's part three. We saw part one, where we all know the Midianite camp. There's part two, where they took Oreb and Zeb. Then there's part three. The 300 men that were with him, they were what? I can't hear you guys. They were what? They were faint, yet doing what? Pursuing. They knew there was more. They are taking spirits. They had gotten born again. They are taking Oreb and Zeb. They are taking soul. They had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was more. So they kept pursuing, even though they were faint. The Bible says that the young men shall faint. Young people, youths, we shall, there is every tendency to be faint. Is there more? With the pressures of the times and the things that we read in the newspaper or in social media and these trials and these things that bombard us, you might be faint. But guess what? Gideon and the 300 with him, they were faint. They were, yet what? Yet what? That's why it's a persistent pursuit. There is more. There is more in God for you and me as an individual. Corporately, together, but also as individuals. The fullness of God's plan for you and me. I've told you, irrespective of where you are born, you know, or your family you are born into, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the purpose and destiny of becoming like Jesus, of inheriting the fullness of what God has for you. And I've told you, it's not by name, it's not by number, it's not by how much you have. It has nothing to do with that. It's faith, hope, and love. It's faith. You believe. That's what it starts with. Believing. See those four lepers. See how God used them to turn a whole nation around, the economy of a whole nation around. And so, they were faint, yet what? Pursuing. That's one major thing I want you to take up from these guys. They were faint. So, I like that. The reality was written. The fact was there that they were faint. Yet, they were doing what? I can't hear. Yet, they were doing what? Pursuing. And he said unto the men of Succoth, okay, give, I pray you, loaves of bread and so on and so forth. Because I am pursuing after what? Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. They had taken down the camp. They had taken down the princes, but they were still kings for them to take down. They were faint yet pursuing. Are we together? So never stop. Never say, I've arrived. Never say it is over. Never say, okay, I'm okay here, or it is not possible. No. Faint yet pursuing. And of course, the story ends in, give me 20 to 21. 20 to 21. 20 to 21. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them, but the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. The point I'm trying to make there is, of course, there was a youth there. So you can see that part of the 300, there was a young man. His son, his firstborn, was a young man. So God is not a respecter of persons. Part of this thing, this move that God wants to do, he's looking for boys and girls, men and women, young and old, male and female. That will be a part of the move. Of course, when it got to a point, the youth could not fall on Zeba and Zalmunna. They will be rulers of the darkness of this world. Wicked spirits in heavenly places that at your level and my level, we might not be able to handle, but there will be fathers amongst us that will be able to take them down. I listen to me. But the most important thing is that you are part of the victorious team. Is that not the most important thing? So you must keep pursuing. So even though Jether was a youth, he had given command to his firstborn, Jether, a youth, to fall, to kill the kings, to kill Zama and Zalmunna. He couldn't. He was afraid. But then his father came and took control. But the point I'm trying to make is that the youth was part of the 300. He was part of those that were faint yet pursuing. Do you understand? Does that talk to you? It talks to you and me. That we can be part of this 300 that God is about to use to do a new thing. Okay. Now, let's really talk about Esther. Even if it's these examples I stopped with today. Esther is another person that kept pursuing. Where are the ladies in the house? Where are the ladies in the house? Where are the ladies in the house? Are you shy? Where are the ladies in the house? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, Esther is another person that we can learn from. She kept pursuing. You see, I want you to get to a place where you are dissatisfied. You know you can cry to God for more. Some people are afraid to cry to God for more. And you know why? Satan has sought to plant fear and condemnation in the hearts of many people, many young people, saying that you are going to God again. You will mess up. You just be like Solomon. That will be not your portion in Jesus' name. You know, you must keep crying out to God. Don't run away from God when you mess up. Run to God. Are we together? Keep running to God. Keep crying for more of God. The reason why we're falling is because we need more of God. So cry out to God for more of Him. More of His mercy. More of His life. More of His wisdom. More of His strength. More of His grace. More of His help. Are we together? More of His resources. More of Himself. I can't even do this thing again. I need you. You are the one that can vanquish sin completely. You are the one that can dominate sin, ignorance, poverty, sickness, permanently. Come, I want more of you. I want the fullness of you in my soul. I want the fullness of you in my health, in my body. I want you, all of you. Start crying out to God. Be in that pursuit mode. Persistent pursuit mode. I know I didn't tell you this, but the scripture that initiated or inspired this topic is in Acts 1. Because they're talking about pursuing the presence of God and the glory of God in this end time, and for ourselves, especially in this season. In the book of Acts, those guys that brought down the glory, the Pentecost time, the Bible says that they continued in prayer. It's like people that kept running and chasing after God. They were like God chasers. They didn't stop. 120, 40 days, the Lord just had taught them. It remained 10 days. The Lord just told them to stay in the upper room. But people had excuses. Some people didn't believe. Some people, there are the pressures of the times. They had a phone call. Some people had businesses to attend to. Some people had wives and husbands to attend to. Some people had, there seems to be every tangible, natural reason for them not to be a part of it. So out of 500, you remain just 120 people within 10 days. And so the Bible says that those guys continued instant in prayer. They continued together in one accord. And on the 10th day, which was 50 days from when Jesus was crucified, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. 10 days, guys. For us, I don't know when it is going to be. But you must be in that mode. God wants us to be in that mode right now. He wants us to be in that mode on a daily basis of persistent pursuit of His glory. Persistent pursuit of fullness. What have you even said about me? Why have you even brought me to this earth? What do you have in store for me? Why have you even called me? Why am I even here? Reveal it to me. Help me to begin to pursue it. I want to fulfill it. But there can be the peer pressure of the times. What are my friends doing? See where they are. What are they doing? Where are they going? Where am I going? Are we together? And so for Esther, the reason why I'm bringing out that spirit of pursuit, that spirit of persistency, of being persistent. Esther 9:1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Of course, we know the story of Esther. Haman had a genocide thought or idea to put all the Jews to death. You know, but it turned around for the good of the Jews and Esther, because she fasted and prayed. That was persistency. But what I want to show you is this. I deliberately introduced this. Now, give me verse 13. You can see that on that 13th day, the enemies of the Jews had in mind to slay them and to cause genocide. So also, Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he's going to turn around for your good in Jesus' name. Do you understand? You are going to have life and have life abundantly. You are going to put to death the sin nature. You are going to put to death those bad habits, those wrong, those satanic habits, those sin and ways that hitherto have beset you.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He's going to turn around for your good. Because where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Are we together? So the victory that the Lord just wrought by going to hell, by passing into the heavens, by sitting at the right hand of God, is going to be wrought through you and in me. Do you understand? So hitherto it might have been that you have been in that fearful state, like the Jews those days. It's as if Haman was going to come and destroy them. But he turned around for their good. But I want you to see something. And this is the encouragement of persistent pursuit. Verse 13 says, then said Esther, the king asked her again. And the king is asking you, what do you want? What else do you want? And so he says, then Esther said, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews, which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. I don't know those 10 sins or those 10 ways. 10 is just complete. Those complete ways that Satan, the satanic nature has manifested, is manifesting. You're going to hang them upon the gallows. So you see, it wasn't just about defeating the devil. They were going to defeat the world. They are going to defeat the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They are going to defeat sin. So she said, oh, I'm not satisfied with him and dying. I'm not satisfied with just getting born again. Those 10 sons that have hindered me from fulfilling the 10 commandments. Are we together? Those 10 sons of Haman that have hindered me. See, anytime you use the word of God to fulfill God's greatest desire, God is always very happy. You know, we can use God's word to get prosperity, to get healing. But when it is to get obedience, to fulfill God's commandments, God is always very happy. He's always glad. He's always elated. Because that's the kingdom. That's the primary and number one thing we should always seek to use God's word for. His promises for. To fulfill his commandments. His commandment of life. His commandment of love. The fruits of the spirit are 9. The commandment of life is 1. 9 plus 1 is 10. It makes it 10 commandments in the New Testament. Are we together? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit. But how can I get the 9 fruits of the Spirit? I must also obey the commandment of life, which makes it 10. And so, you need the 10 commandments of Haman. You want to begin to find commandments of life. You want to begin to fulfill the commandment of love. You want more of the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life. Because even when I get born again, there is another law working in my members, hindering me from doing what I want to do. Hindering me from walking in love. It makes me get angry. It makes me get unforgiving. That other law walking in my member is making me do the things I don't want to do. It doesn't even make me behave like a Christian man sometimes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the king asked Esther, do you want more? She said, yes. She said, those 10 sons of Haman, we need to take them down. Are we together? So, there is persistent pursuit. I know that there is more. And I need to fulfill the 10 commandments and fulfill all the commandments. So the 10 sons of Haman were hanged on the 14th day. Was that enough? No. Are we together? Persistent pursuit. Are you flowing with me? Go to verse 14. You think that this, you see that this Esther, she was just a gentle girl. In her heart, there is more. Do you understand? There is hunger for more on a daily basis. And the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan. And they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Because his generation must not continue. They will do worse things than their father. They can look cool and handsome right now. But they are bad boys. They have the same genes of their father. Next verse. Next verse. 15. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. Go to the next verse. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. So you can see that there are more things to do. There are more lands to conquer. There are more victories. Do you understand? Fullness. Go to verse 18. On the 13th day of the month Adar, on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. So you can see 13 and 14. Now look again. But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. The point I'm trying to say is that victory is continuous. She didn't just say, okay, you know, Haman is dead, it's fine. They still killed over 300 people in the palace, 75,000 people that were hiding around. They were not satisfied. And you also, the reason why you must, on a daily basis, there are daily victories. Do you understand? There are daily victories over the sin nature that you must continue to execute. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming soon. No. Well, he's coming soon. But he's not coming until all his enemies are under his feet. He is the head. He's not the feet. Oh. You and me, we are the body, including the feet. It is when the enemies, including death, have been put under the feet of the body of Christ, that Jesus will not say, until Dagba. I cannot go and get them as a bride of Christ. Do you understand? He's not coming for babies, though. He's not coming tomorrow. You can call me if he comes. We'll both be here. Because we are yet to be persistent in pursuing this thing, in having the enemies under our feet, individually and also corporately. We have work to do, guys. And that's why you must pursue persistently. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your age. God wants you to pursue. The Gideons, I mean, they are faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. The young men shall faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. The challenges and the winds will come. The trials and the temptations will come. The destructions and the discouragements will come. But you must yet pursue. Are we together? Just give me a few moments. Give me 5 minutes and let me see. And then I'll stop wherever I can stop. Anna is another example. This lady became a widow from when she was in her 20s. But give me Luke chapter 2, 36 to 38. So you can see, as a Christian, you can be stubborn in righteousness. Stubborn in holiness. Do you understand? And when you are fulfilling the commandment of love, you can say, love covers whatever challenges and infirmities and strongholds you could ever have. Love loves righteousness. Love is not proud. Love is slow to anger. Love forgives. Love covers a multitude of sins. However, the sin nature wants to spring up. The more I develop love, love captures it and dominates it. Love turns that evil into righteousness. Do you understand? Love turns evil to good. Love heals. Love makes whole. So when I focus on love and developing love, either it's 10 sons of Haman or those hidden infirmities, wherever they are, whether they are 75,000, in different forms, love captures them and kills them. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the place of prayer and the word. But the point, look at this woman. We are talking about people that were persistent in pursuing, in preparing for the glory. Who are that spirit of persistence and pursuit, which you must develop. You can't be passive. You can't be, okay, whatever comes as it comes. You can't be just naturally minded or mind natural things alone. So, about Anna, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asa. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Next verse. And she was a widow of about 84 years. How much is that? 84 years. 84 years. So she lived with her husband just 7 years before the man passed on. And since then, she didn't marry again. Which departed, now this is the pursuit spirit. And she was looking for something. Which departed not from the temple, and your own temple is the body of your body, or a corporate gathering like this, but served God with what? Fastings and prayers night and day. It's like Gideon's army that was pursuing naturally. It's like Esther that kept demanding daily. It's like that woman that kept demanding of the judge importunity. Night and day, she did not give rest. Why? Because, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. She was looking for redemption. She was looking for salvation. She was looking for the consolation of Israel. This was people that were praying that Jesus would come. She and Simeon, male and female, they came supernaturally. They had been praying for the consolation of Israel, for the redemption of Israel, for the birth of the Christ. So on the day that Joseph and Mary brought the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus, into the temple, God supernaturally brought them. into the temple at the same time. And then they saw what they had been praying for all these years. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is persistent pursuit. When God sees that you are seeking diligently, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we're not talking about seeking Him for material things. We're talking about the glory of God, the presence of God. What's your highest desire? Is your highest desire His person? Is your highest desire His presence? Is your highest desire His glory? Or is it just some jackass stuff? Is it just some escape mentality? Is it just some natural need and natural solution alone? Or you want Him? Because when He is there, all needs are met. When you have a revelation of His name, of His person, and you're in love and intimacy with Him, of a necessity, you cannot be poor now. You can't lack. Water that passes through a pipe, will the pipe not be wet? So when I focus on the water and the life Himself, will He not supply my needs and make me heal and whole? You're not answering me. So when He says, seek first the kingdom, He knows what He's saying. Is He not the healer? Is He not the provider? So when it's not just the provision I'm asking for in His hand, and I'm asking for the provider Himself to come and stay with me and live with me. I'm asking for the healer Himself to come and stay with me and live with me. Will I not myself become a healer? Because He's abiding there, and He's what will, if life, I'm saying it again, if water flows through a pipe, will the pipe not be wet? So why are we seeking wetness alone when you can seek the water? For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water and make you whole. And make you a champion, a kingmaker, rather than be begging for crumbs under the table. God doesn't want that for you and me. Are we together? Persistent pursuit for the whole of God, for Himself, for His presence, for His glory, for His power. We'll stop there today. In talking about people that have pursued, by next week we'll continue this particular topic. Pursuit of His presence. And you know, last week I gave us these prayers that we should be using, you know, that will help us. The Bible said they were in one accord, praying together, praying the same thing, praying in love. And that's what God is expecting of us, because that is the express way for His power. Because God is love. Because if you don't have, we'll give people that don't have. Even if it's just that keeping yourself in the love of God you are doing on a daily basis, wake up in the morning to pray it. If you're not sure about it, check the scriptures in the Bible. Let me tell you, these are not two good examples, but I want to tell you something about persistent pursuit. It always brings reward. I wrote it down. Satan, his guy is persistent because they know the reward of persistence. The reason that he left Jesus for a season, he came back home. On the cross, he was there. He said, if you are the Son of God, get down from the cross. That's Satan speaking through one of the thieves. Even to the cross, he followed him there. The point I'm trying to make is persistence. There is something about persistence. Persistent pursuit. When a lion wants to get his prey, he can wait 2-3 days to wait. You remember you two, you're a lion, oh? Persistent pursuit. Delilah! And all the Delilah sins in our lives, you know, they wait, oh? Didn't they wait for Samson? Didn't she wait for Samson? She waited, oh? There's something about pursuit. They know the reward it reaps. In both sides. And so that's why you shouldn't be any different. If the bad guys are looking for persistence and making persistent pursuit, and you've seen the good guys making persistent pursuit, you and me know that persistent pursuit is not a sin. Do you understand? It might be a religious thing for certain people, or out of the religious box for many people, or might not be part of their religious lifestyle, but we are not religious. We are Christians. We are persistent pursuers of His glory. Are we together? We are hungry for more of Him. And being hungry for more of Him might make you like a woman that is pregnant. When she's about to put baby, it's not the normal lady that you see doing, you know, the catwalk. Things change. You understand? Things change. It's no more, I've told you now, you know. It's no more just the fine girl. The face start changing, all kinds of things. You know, persistent pursuit, the one wants to put to bed. Do you understand what I'm saying? So persistent pursuit might not make you fit into the religious thing that you've already known. But you must keep praying the prayer of love. Because love is God. God is love. You are never out of the will of God when you pray love. And like I said, if you check it very well, check the major infirmities, princes and kings in your life hitherto that have tried to hinder you from taking the land. You see that love is king over them. And love solves that problem. It might not be overnight, but it's progressive and it's certainly, surely going to give you the victory. Let's bow our heads as we pray. On a daily basis, I'll be in persistent pursuit as I pray the prayer of love for the glory of God. The Bible says that when we keep His commandments, if we ask anything, He will answer us. Can you imagine? If you can use that word, the joker, to get anything from God, like Esther got anything from the king, is praying love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is self-control. Love is not proud. God is not proud. Love is not jealous. Love rejoices in truth, not in iniquity. Love loves righteousness and hates iniquity. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. The Lord Jesus is love. To be praying that prayer of love on a daily basis. Wake up to pray it. Check the scriptures. If you don't have at the end of the service, I can give you. Let's start praying the same thing. Let's be in pursuit of more of Him. When you pray the prayer of love, you cannot pray all the other things and add them to it. I can guarantee you. When you've made love your number one, all those other things will be added unto you. Love is not sick. Love is not poor. Love is not ignorant. Because he that walketh in love walketh in light. He that loveth his brother walketh in light and not in darkness. And nothing will make him stumble. The pursuit of the glory, pursuit of love. Let's stand up on our feet together as we pray together. I am hungry.
There's a hunger. I am desperate.
We are.
Immerse us. We're not waiting. Not anymore. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need
you. One more time.
There's a hunger.
There's a hunger.
And a thirst.
And a thirst.
We are desperate. Immerse us. We're not waiting.
Not anymore.
We need you, Lord.
One more time.
We need you.
There's a hunger.
And a thirst. We are desperate.
Immerse us.
We're not waiting.
Not anymore.
We need you, Lord.
Holy Ghost. We need you. One more time, guys.
There's a hunger.
And a thirst.
We are desperate. Immerse us.
Know that the greatest hunger you can have is for the Father, for the Son, for the Lord Jesus, for the Spirit Himself to come and fill the entirety of your life, of your soul, of your body, of your physical body, of your circumstances. When we cry out for God,
all other things are added unto us. Said, if you keep my commandments, I will come and make my abode to you, with you. You know, I will dwell with you. And you know, like I said, he's the healer, he's a provider. Not only will he heal you and provide for you, but he'll make you a provider. He'll make you a sustainer. He'll make you a healer. He'll make you a director. He'll make you more than you could ever ask or dream. Ask Joseph. Ask Daniel. There is more, and the greatest we can have. Man's hunger has always been God. Ask people that are rich, there is more. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that the rich, they cannot even sleep. You know, it's not by the riches. They are looking for peace. It's never been by that. They just give us a facade on social media. They give us a facade in the news. And that Satan, he tries to blow these things up. There is more. That more can only be God himself. He's the creator, and he's the one that created you and knows that the hunger and thirst is after he himself. He's after the beloved. He's after him. He's not after any other thing. And many people are sinning at the brothels. The hunger is still a hunger for God. It's using drugs. It's still a hunger for God. There is more. There is more, and they're just looking for it. But you are even within him right now. And maybe you're looking for more from another dam. And he said, I'm here. It's me that you need. And so you cry out for me on a daily basis. Ask of me, and I will give you the uttermost part for the inheritance. I'll give you the heathen for the inheritance, and the uttermost part for thy possession. Ask of me. Me, I am. Ask of me. You might look like you're too tiny, too small, you're black, you're white, you're this, you're that. He said, ask of me. I don't care who you are and what you are. Ask of me. And don't stop asking for more of me on a daily basis. Because I'm the only one that can satisfy you to the uttermost. I'm the only one that can save you to the uttermost. So keep asking for more of me. More of me. More of my wisdom. More of my love. More of my humility. More of my character. More of me. More of my glory. And you'll see what he will do in you and through you and for you. More than even in you and for you. He will do with you and through you. Because he's looking for bodies that he can invade and walk in and work in and do mighty works and greater than he did through the Lord Jesus, through one man. He wants to do through the entire body. So the same anointing upon the head can flow down the beard, the fathers in the house, flow down to you and me, wherever we are, irrespective of your name, irrespective of the local church you go. But what you is looking for is you're desperate for more of his love, to develop his love, more of him, to show forth his glory. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Lord, have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we have life. Thank you, Father. One hand on your heart, one hand up. Father, thank you for your word that we've heard today. We ask, O Lord God, for more of you. More of you. More of you. More of your character. More of your life. More of your love. More of your grace. More of your mercy. Not to use it to serve sin. Not to use it as liberty, as an occasion for the flesh, but to love you, to serve you, to become more like you, to show forth your love and your glory to our generation. Fill us with all of you, the fullness of you. Grant us to be strengthened according to the riches of your glory by your Spirit with might in our inner man, so that Christ will dwell more in our hearts. By faith, we will become more rooted and grounded in love in our wills. We'll be able to comprehend more in our minds with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the body of Christ. And we'll know more in our emotions the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that kind of knowledge that the Lord Jesus showed to the Samaritan woman in spite of the knowledge of her sin, so that we will ultimately be filled in our bodies with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rakaso, Secretaria, Drakatoria, Victory, Zakadiaria, Daily, Brokoria, Pursuing, Brokaya, Daily Pursuit, Mesite, Kataria, Strengthen, Makaya, Vodika,
victories in Kadia, in our wills, the Makaya, light, understanding, the Kaya, grace and help, strength, the Kadia, Goderia, in our souls, in our bodies, the Kadia, in our circumstances, favor and health, the Makaya, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.